We'd like to move the meeting along fairly quickly. I think a lot of you want to try to get to that other meeting.
Right.
Okay. So it is, what, it must be close to 11 or to 9:30, at 9:31. So I'll call the meeting to order. And John Pointer, if you would please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
You all stand, please. Veterans, if you would salute. Ready, begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Welcome, Evelyn.
Thank you. Sorry I'm late.
Let's see. Roll call could be a little tough. Right. Oh, there's Sherry. Perfect.
I can call roll if Sherry can't.
I'm right here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Sherry's here. Okay. I think we've got a nice quorum.
Okay.
Sherry, we're ready for the roll call whenever you are.
Okay. Tony Olivato.
I'm here.
Anna Boyce. Elizabeth Busick.
Here.
Carol Downey. Dee Ehrman. Scott Figg. Marilyn Federow. Elaine Genoway.
Present.
Ah, okay. I'm here.
And Carol Downey is here. I don't know, but she's on mute.
Oh, okay. Well,
I'm sorry. I'm on mute. I'm on here. I'm here, Sherry.
Okay.
Sorry.
Thank you. Tish Leone.
Here.
Okay. Jim Levy.
Jim's here. He's on mute right now.
Okay. Maybe I should just read the participant list. John Pointer.
Here.
Tony Rodella.
Here.
Christina Seltzer.
Present.
Okay. Dave Tetzloff.
Here.
Evelyn Velez.
Here.
And Phil Mandeville. Okay, that's all I have on my list.
I'm unmuted. I'm here.
Okay.
Sherry, did you get me? I'm here.
Yes.
Okay. Great. Let's see. I don't see anybody to introduce. I don't. Who's phone number ends in 5484. Any idea? Oh, 5484, could you unmute and say who you are? Hello.
Hello.
Who are you?
Anna Boyce.
Huh. Okay, thank you, Anna. Okay.
You're welcome.
Welcome. Glad to have you here. I'm looking around. I don't see any other people. So it gives me great pleasure to introduce Elaine Genoway, who will now introduce our speaker.
Hey, thank you, Larry.
Would everybody mute now, except if you're going to speak?
Okay, so our guest speaker today is Tony Cardenas, the League of California Cities Regional Public Affairs Manager for Orange County Division. And the League of California Cities is an association of the cities throughout our state to share information, combine resources, so that they can influence policy decisions that affect our individual cities. So here in Orange County, 33 of the 34 cities are members of the League. And we are greatly honored today to have Tony with us speaking, because I will let you know that this is his first day back and the first thing he's doing since coming off of new parent leave. So he has a darling 2.5 month old little girl along with a little boy. But so he is, maybe he's looking forward to coming back to work. I don't know. But it is our honor that he has decided to be with us right after his leave of absence. But we are very happy for you and wish you the very best with your...
That's a very nice introduction. Thank you very much. And thank you everybody for having me. I think this is the second time that I presented to this committee. So thank you very much. Last time I had quite an extensive presentation. And I had a whole lot of bills that we went over. It is my first day back, so I'm really hitting the ground running. If anything, I'd like to really listen in and absorb kind of what you guys are discussing. But over the weekend, I kind of I highlighted some issues that I know cities have been discussing that they will be discussing. And then I got some feedback from my board of directors in terms of what they want to do right away. So if that's okay, I'll just give you a quick update. In terms of city finances, I've been hearing that city finances are going to continue to get hit very hard. The worst of the loss of revenues in terms of property tax and sales tax, particularly tourism tax from hotels, and those type of revenues are really down for cities. So I keep hearing from some city managers that the worst is yet to come. We do know that there have been a lot of furloughs that have taken place. And with the increase of the infection rate, there's continuous dialogue of, prolonging the shutdown. And if that continues, then the revenue situation is going to get worse. Before I left, the league did a revenue study. Basically, if the lockdown continues, the County of Orange, all the cities in Orange County, they sent letters to D.C. I think that it was somewhere around $2 to $3 billion that it was just going to be an outright loss. So what that will mean for cities, what that will mean for core services, that's going to be a challenge. On top of all that potential revenue loss because of the lockdown due to COVID-19, you also have, cities are still dealing with their unfunded pension obligations, and those are continuing to go up. CalPERS did lower the discount rate, so that means cities are going to have to pay more to cover the unfunded pension obligations. So it's kind of a double whammy that cities are going to be hit with. There were some ballot measures, as you all know, that were decided on during this past election. By Prop 15, the league didn't take a position on the vast majority of the ballot measures. There's only one ballot measure that we took a support position on, and that was to increase penalties for misdemeanors. Unfortunately, that ballot measure didn't go anywhere. But Prop 15 would have tinkered with Proposition 13, which deals with property taxes, and that failed 52-48. So there's some in Sacramento that were counting on that money. That money is not going to be there. So again, there's going to be some financial challenges for cities. In terms of my board of directors and what my leadership, what they've been discussing, they're looking at the regional housing needs assessment numbers that are coming out from SCAG, the RENA numbers. There's a lot of discussion in terms of how cities are going to plan for those numbers. Right now, it's just a planning phase. It's not really a building phase, but cities still need to plan for these RENA numbers, and that's becoming more and more difficult. My board of directors wants to host a roundtable discussion of all the 34 cities in Orange County to discuss what could we do as a county and what could we do as a group of Orange County cities dealing with RENA numbers. So I know that's another big issue. And of course, the other question is what is the new power dynamics going to be in Sacramento, at the Capitol, and also in D.C. with the election that just took place? We have, I've been reading that California is now a darker shade of blue when it comes to legislators in Sacramento. What will that mean? What will that mean for cities? What will that mean for issues that such as homelessness? Because that's an issue that is that's still here, and how are cities going to be dealing with it? So those are some of the bigger picture issues that I've been kind of keeping tabs on. There's not a whole lot of, in terms of legislation, COVID-19 dominated everything. So there wasn't a whole heck of a lot of legislation that really shifted, big tectonic plate shifts in terms of policy in Sacramento. But I think housing, affordable housing. You know, the rent control measure failed, so I anticipate there will be some efforts in the Capitol to address the increased cost of housing. Those are just some of the issues that I think we're going to be dealing with in the immediate future. Why don't I just pause there? And I know I talked quite a bit. I'm more than happy to take some questions. And really, I just want to listen and absorb what you guys are going to be talking so I can relay that over to my board of directors as well. I'll just pause for a sec.
Tony, this is Elaine Genoway. One thing that we're very concerned about are the nutrition programs. There are a lot of at-risk seniors in Orange County. Funding has come through for different nutrition programs related to COVID. Some of that funding is going away. And so we are very concerned about what this is going to do to at-risk seniors losing that food security net. So anything that you could share with us or take back to the league that this is of great concern to us or the nutrition programs.
I will. We have a conference call today at 11, so I'll ask that question and see what the latest is on that. And if I don't have the answers to your questions now, I'll certainly relay them back to whomever you want me to, Councilmember Genoway, and the rest of the committee. Yes.
All right. Thank you.
Anybody else have a question? Just raise your hand or put it in chat.
Well, thank you very much for the opportunity. And if it's okay, I'd love to stay in the meeting and listen in.
Hey, Tony, it looks really bleak to me for this next year. Am I right?
Yes. I think the worst is yet to come in terms of city revenues, in terms of how cities are going to look like in terms of core services. And this lockdown is going to prolong everything. So that's the question. You know, are we going to, is the lockdown going to continue? Are businesses going to be shut down further? The longer that goes, you know, the longer, you know, places like Disneyland are closed and, you know, impacts to smaller businesses around those businesses, that's going to be an issue. Larry, I think you're right. I think the worst is yet to come. The situation does look bleak. You know, in terms of the league, we're not doing any in-person meetings, I heard, until June, which is a very long time, in my opinion. So I hope things do open up quicker, but we'll wait and see.
And arena numbers, I've been living with arena numbers as long as I can remember, and they keep going up. Do they really have any effect?
The state believes so. The state wants cities. It's right now, it's all a planning game, quite frankly, Larry. They're not forcing cities don't build housing, but we're being forced to plan for it. Where to put these arena numbers is becoming more and more difficult. And they are continuing to go up. Cities that say that they're built out, the state says, well, look up at the sky. You can build upwards. And, you know, they want multi-layer thing, you know, housing. That works for some cities, that doesn't work for others. And in particular with the whole COVID-19 and over, you know, dense areas, that's another issue as well. So they keep going up. There was discussion, you know, gosh, with COVID and you know, people, things being too dense, maybe we shouldn't have too many arena numbers, but other San Francisco legislators, they said, well, we're pretty dense and our numbers aren't that high. So they're probably going to continue to go up, but we'll keep our tabs on them, Larry. I can tell you that the cities in Orange County, they do want to contest those numbers. They want to officially protest and contest those numbers. At least the cities in Orange County do. And that's what I want to get my feel on a little bit better with my board of directors and what some of these other Orange County cities want to do. That's why we want to have this forum, because they may want to do something a little more formal to challenge those RENA numbers.
What are RENA numbers?
RENA stands for Regional Housing Needs Assessment numbers. So they're basically city of X, you got to put in 100 RENA units in your city this year to accommodate low income housing. So it's essentially a number that cities have to plan for in their in their master planning of their city, their general plan.
And it becomes a game to a large extent.
No.
Mr. Pointer, I think, has a question.
It's for some cities, yeah. John Pointer.
Tony, last year the legislative focus was on homelessness, wildfires, COVID-19. Do you think that's going to change, or do you see that as, again, the focus for the 2021 legislative session?
I think you're right on. I think it will be the focus. Homelessness is going to be there. COVID-19 is going to be there. And the wildfires is the other issue, without a doubt. You know, people say we're in a year-long fire season now. And you're absolutely right. I mean, right across the railroad tracks in my in Anaheim, in Yorba Linda, you know, we had that fire recently. So yeah, I think that'll be a big discussion, certainly, without a doubt.
Just to follow on, Tony. So the budget last year saw a number of cuts to senior programs that were ultimately restored. With the revenue drop off, just wondering if the budget's going to be just as difficult on seniors in the coming year as well.
I think it will be. I think it will be, so long as we're faced with an economy that's not fully open. And as long as that's prolonged, that will continue, without a doubt. That's the key question, is when we can safely open up 100%. I think that's when you'll start to see the trend line slowly move upwards. But until then, it'll be flat. It'll be flat. And those issues that are front and center on our TVs, like the wildfires and the homeless issue of COVID-19, those will continue to dominate, especially when legislators are at home in their districts. Yeah.
Okay, Tony, thank you very much. You're more than welcome to stay or go, depending upon your schedule. We'll get on with our meeting now.
I'd love to stay. Thank you very much, Larry. And thank you, everybody, for having me.
Good, and congratulations on the new baby.
Thank you very much.
Yes. While I'm saying congratulations, I never did give congratulations to Sherry Horn. Sherry, for your election.
Oh, well, thank you.
Okay. Wasn't even close, was it?
No, it wasn't. I'm happy to say.
Okay. Move on to item number 6, legislative tracking. Tony, do you have anything? Tony Rodella, do you have anything else for us?
I think I'll pass on to John. John will probably be covering some of the same stuff that I'll be doing, so I'll just pass it on to John.
Okay, thank you, Tony. Then we'll move on to item number 7, CSL Caucus. John Pointer.
Thank you. I don't have a lot to add. I'm anxiously waiting to see what the final product for the Master Plan for Aging will look like this morning. And we will go from there. The second major event, in my opinion, is the governor's budget, which will be submitted in January. Usually the first, sometimes the second week. That'll give us a snapshot of what 2021 is going to look like. That's all I've got, Larry. You're muted, Larry.
I was going to say, that's my dog. Ruby? Quiet. Thank you. So then we'll get on to item number 8, unless anybody has any questions for John Pointer. So item 8, new business.
Wait a minute, Larry.
Yeah.
Look at the beautiful baby girl who's joining us. Is this her first meeting too?
Oh my goodness.
Tony, what's her name?
Her name's Victoria.
Beautiful.
All right.
Yeah. Actually, Larry, I had a question for John.
Yeah.
I don't know if he'll be able to answer this. It's kind of a broad question, but with all the CARES funding that was sent out to all the cities, and you know, and how much of it went to the that plates program. Do you think this that will affect the budget for 2021?
Is that to me, Tish?
Yes.
Yep.
Well, I thought a lot of that funding was matched by the federal government, and I thought what the county, what Erica was pointing out recently was that they were trying to get their, I'll call them invoices, in before the end of the year so that they could get them paid because they were unsure what the funding was going to be like in 2021. So that was my takeaway. If somebody has a different view, chime in. But I thought it was more driven by trying to get paid rather than the funding, where the funding was going, or who was providing it.
No, you're right. Yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah, what Erica had said was that the Great Plates Delivered program would be ending the end of November, because it takes about a month for the invoices to get in, and the funding for that ends the end of this calendar year. So they need to get all the invoices in so that the county is reimbursed for that. And I don't have the number, I have it written down, but not right here. It's millions and millions of dollars that the county has spent just on Great Plates Delivered. What she did say was very interesting though, is that as they are letting the participants in that program know that they need to, you know, transition off to see what other programs might be available to them, she said about 50% don't want to go to anything else, so that they don't need another meal program to go on to. So that would, I think, indicate that it served some people, Great Place Delivered served them, just because you couldn't go out to restaurants, but they are able to now get their own meals. So I thought that was an interesting stat, that 50% said they didn't need another program.
John, but yeah, I think you're right about the federal government being reimbursing that, some of that as well. I was just curious on how much impact that's going to have on the, your opinion on how much impact that would have on the 2021 budget. Well,
there's going to be a handout, I believe, Tish, on C4A's white paper on nutrition. So they give quite a bit of information and statistics on senior nutrition and senior hunger. So it's an issue. So I think we're going to take a look at that just a little bit and just in some time remaining in this meeting.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Okay. Sherry, for your information, Scott Fay joined us.
Yes, I got him. Thank you.
Sue Langley. Sue, you're new to us, am I right?
Yes, I am. I joined yesterday looking at, with through Christina Selter. So I'm
you're replacing Christina.
She's thinking about it. So she came to a few meetings that Elaine set up for her to see how this all works.
Okay.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Christina is not here because when I called the roll, someone answered.
Who is? Okay.
Christina Seltzer, so she's not here?
I am here. I just spoke and I did say present.
Okay, so I thought somebody else said they were taking your place.
No, she's here visiting because I'm retiring.
So okay.
She's checking it out. She went to SCAC meeting on Friday and she's checking out the legislation.
Okay, thank you very much.
So we gotta be nice to her. Okay. So on to new business. Item one, consideration of legislative chair and vice chair for 2021 and 2022. Now that's appointed by the executive committee, but are there any volunteers? Or we need a volunteer, I should say. Who wants to volunteer to take over next year? Need a volunteer. Let's see. Who? Carol? You want to take it over?
Larry, I have some health issues that I'm working through
right now. So I'm gonna pass. I have to, I have a hemoglobin. I have a kind of a blood issue and it's gonna take up some time, okay?
Okay. Dave Tesla. Hi, Dave.
I'm just unmuting. I have signed up for another 2-year term on the executive board as a member at large. So if that does not transpire, I would be a candidate, would be interested.
Great.
But preferences on the executive board member at large.
No, is that true, Elaine? He can't be on both?
Yeah, that's according to the bylaws for the Board of Supervisors. If you are on the executive board, you cannot be a member or a chair of a standing committee. So that kind of eliminates a lot of people on here. Actually, we need to get the nominated slate back from the nominating committee to see who's been nominated. And then that election will take place at the January meeting. But yeah, and that, I know that's difficulty that 2 years ago, a lot of the committees had a challenge with and had to change their chairs because someone would be chair and then got on the executive board. So I know the board would appreciate volunteers. We don't want to have to do any arm twisting, but this is a great committee to head up and you do, can work towards the legislative issues that are affecting our seniors. So this would be a great opportunity for somebody.
Okay. Well, we are going to need someone to take over come the first of the year. So think about if you want to volunteer or not, because my term is up at the end of this year. So Evelyn, do you want to do it? You're laughing.
You're a funny man. With 3 solid meetings under my belt, I'm not sure I'm quite ready.
But I think that Evelyn looks like she's it. And with
that's
your
only
background,
because I unmuted.
With your background, I think you could do it, even right. Though you've only been on for 3 meetings.
I think it'd be great. It's wonderful. I got used to in the military rotating every 2 or 3 years, and it's great to bring new people in with new ideas. Evelyn, I think you do a super job.
And just to throw my 2 cents in there, we're all been there for a while, and so we would be happy to help you and guide you.
Okay. Okay, I'm clueless though, Larry, so we need to talk.
Okay. You and I'll talk to Elaine and we'll see what we can come up with. Be great. Elizabeth?
I could say with the Housing and Transportation Committee, Carolyn Inman, she hadn't been on the committee and I got her to take it and she did a fantastic job. Yeah. And I'm sure Evelyn can do every bit as well. So I think we're in good hands.
Great.
With Evelyn.
Totally agree with you, Elizabeth. So.
Okay. Ooh, got that one taken care of. Good. Program for January meeting. We have traditionally let John Pointer talk about legislative items in January. Is that satisfactory to everybody? Get off the right start. John, you volunteered for that one?
Yes.
Great. Takes care of that. Next, item number 3, date of January meeting. We generally meet the 3rd Monday of the month in January, well, of every month. We end up with problems in both January and February. In January, I believe the 3rd Monday is Martin Luther King's birthday, which I think the state celebrates, and we can't have a meeting that day. So do we want to do it the 2nd or the 4th Monday? Carissa, do you have a preference on that? How have we done it in the past? Anybody remember? Am I correct that we can't do it on Martin Luther King's birthday?
Yeah, those are county holidays. The third Monday in January and February are county holidays, so yeah. We can't do them. We've traditionally done them the second Monday, but I don't know if Carissa has a conflict with that, or would the committee prefer to have it the fourth Monday?
I currently don't have anything for the second Monday, so if that's the date you guys would prefer, we can do that.
So we'll do it the second Monday of January and then the second Monday of February. And that's always confusing to everybody because you don't change your calendar. And so if you'd all change your calendar then right now to reference the second Monday in those 2 months.
And Larry, I'm also working on the SCAC calendar as a whole with the general meetings and the subcommittee meetings for 2021. So once I have that, I can send that out as well, and that'll have all of the dates listed.
Okay. And then item four is programs for 2021. And are we okay right now to just have one for the first meeting in January? And at that meeting, we can then come up with our programs for the rest of the year? Unless anybody has any idea of a program they'd like to do, say in February at this point. All right, so we'll defer that until the first, or until our first meeting in January. Thank you very much. That takes me to item B, old business. And the No Senior Goes Hungry, and I sent out some time ago, the C4A paper. I think you all have that. And that had some ideas in there. John, do you want to give us sort of an update on where you see we might go with that one? Get us started.
Sure, Larry. What I provided Larry was a position paper, a white paper prepared by C4A. C4A is an organization in which the AAA directors belong to, and it is a nonprofit that speaks for them on issues before the legislature. So in that white paper, one of the issues they talked to was nutrition. There's one on social isolation on there, and there's two more that escape me right now. If you go to the c4a.org website, you'll find the position papers there. So all I did is provide that to Larry and basically say, so here's what the AAA directors have basically, I'll call it agreed to, as their recommendations for nutrition. And the issue that jumped out at me the most was the reduction in funding that was referenced on page four. I'll get it right. Page three, meals provided are contingent on federal, state, and local funding. In 2019-20, meal counts and older adults served were increased to a state investment of $17.5 million, which is proposed to be reduced to $8.75 million in 2020-21. So they only got two-year funding. They had the funding bumped in 2019, and it expires, and it's scheduled to go back down to $875 million. Well, that was a no-brainer. That's an easy one to get behind, I would think, especially if the AAAs are all pointing it out and saying, you know, we want additional funding. Now, the problem's going to be the budget, but now the rest of the recommendations you can take a look at if you want, but I thought funding was a pretty basic issue. The recommendations are identified on page 5.
So, Elaine, does that sound like something we might want to go forward with to the Board of Supervisors?
Yes, I think that's something that we could advocate for is, you know, again, we're looking for the county to either maintain or increase funding for nutrition programs. One thing I would emphasize, which I don't, and I may have missed it, but I don't see it in this paper, is that if a senior is facing nutrition insecurity and does not have the right nutrition, is not getting the meals, then there's a lot of collateral effects to that. That gets into health and healthcare and all of those other things that, you know, when you look at how much the county is spending maybe in healthcare, well, that is going to need to increase if you're not spending money on food. So I think we need to show that there is a connection and there are collateral effects if nutrition programs are underfunded. We also need to be sure we emphasize the term, you know, at-risk seniors, because as we've seen before with Great Plates Delivered, or as we're seeing now, not all of the seniors participating are at risk. So we want to emphasize that it's to serve those who are at risk and economically disadvantaged or not able to get out and get food. So those are my thoughts. But yeah, this is something that we could put into the what we advocate to the Board of Supervisors.
Great. Dave, you had your hand raised?
Yeah, I had a question, and I haven't heard much about it. Has the federal budget for 2021 that takes effect October 1st been approved?
The federal budget?
Yeah, doesn't the federal budget work on an October 1st?
I think they're running on a continuing resolution, Dave.
Just as always, they've never approved an official budget for the last 20 years. On
all they have is a continuing resolution
starting on October 1st, have they? No. So is the new White House going to have a positive, negative effect? What's the thought there?
Which is the White House going to be?
Well, the one that's been elected, supposedly.
they're coming out with some sort of an economic program today, but I don't think they're that specific yet.
Yeah, okay. But we're still working on a month-by-month basis for the federal budget.
Well, it's every couple of months.
Every couple.
Yeah. I think it's through December. And then I think there's something else that comes. But I'm speaking from memory, and I'm not working off all my brain cells today, so for some reason. But Elaine, just one further observation. What is the, is it the district director for Supervisor Bartlett that attends our meetings? Could she be a resource in terms of touching base on the nutrition idea and saying, is this something Supervisor Bartlett would support? Would that give us
I can pursue that and put some feelers out on that.
Yeah.
And then also just to let you know, watch in your own cities. I know the cities just received a new chunk of funding related to COVID, and in fact, tomorrow night at our city council meeting, we're going to be approving the allocation for where that funding is going. But there are more dollars have been given to the cities. So, and it is a significant amount.
Anybody else have any thoughts on this one? I'm willing to work with John Pointer and come up with a paper that we could approve at our January meeting to go forward. Does that sound satisfactory to you, Elaine?
Right, so you mean to do this outside of the long-term goals that we are working on, to do this in addition to, so this is more of a time-sensitive issue?
This would be part of it.
Part of it, okay.
Yeah.
I just want to know what track you're going.
I don't know.
Hey, Mark, can Tony join us too, since he was originally involved in the nutrition process here?
Say again, John.
I said, could Tony Olivato join us as well, since he was part of the nutrition process?
Sure, John, that's fine.
You said yes, Tony?
Yeah. Yeah. Great.
I have to apologize on my hearing today. I'm down to one ear right now. Hopefully it's temporary. That's it. Okay. So I think we got that one sort of settled. I hope, move forward on it. And the next item is, I also sent to you, we had bills provided by Supervisor Bartlett at our last meeting. And I think she talked about it. And then she, Pauline Colvin was very nice to send it all out to us. Now, most of those bills are dead, I think, at this point. But just an idea of something that we want to be looking at for next year is to come up with a method whereby we can make recommendations to the Board of Supervisors on bills at the state level that they should support. And I don't know if we've gotten any more guidance as to exactly how to do that.
Larry, Erica is working on that with County Council as far as the process that we should go through. And then also, I know Supervisor Bartlett this week is up in Sacramento for CSAC, and I will follow up with her when she returns to see if they've addressed any bills. Well, it's pretty early in the legislative cycle, but that we want to be in front of it and not, you know, not at the tail end after the session is over.
Okay, so I don't see us doing anything on the thing they sent us. I think all those bills are pretty much dead right now, but that's the sort of thing that we'll be looking at next year and trying to come up fairly early in the year with somehow getting our recommendations through to the Board of Supervisors, at least to Supervisor Bartlett, and let's see if she can run with it. Any other thoughts on that one? Yeah,
Jim. I think in the past, it's been so complicated because if a committee comes up, they have to get the approval of the exec. It goes then to the, it just goes to too many levels of approval to get actually up to the board. I think there needs to be some way of streamlining the process.
I think we all agree, Jim, and that's what we're trying to find out, how to streamline the process so that by the time our recommendations get up, it's not the end of the fiscal year.
That's right.
And that's why we were very happy to hear Supervisor Bartlett request that of us. So we're looking to see how we can do that.
Yeah. Okay, so that's all I have on that one, unless anybody else has anything else they want to.
Just okay. A clarification.
Yes.
So the SCAC bills, we've basically stated we're not working off those. We're starting fresh, right?
Yes.
Okay. So the first time we will know that there is a bill that will be pursued through the legislature will be in the middle of February. Okay, that's when, that's the second Friday of the month of February is typically the last day legislators have to commit or author legislation that will then be, I'll call it logged in, recorded. So that gives you a point of reference in terms of when you'll know what you would be able to put your support behind, because there's no point putting your support behind a proposal. You don't know if that's going to get approved or not. You want to wait until the bill is actually there, and what the SCAC supports is a what they compiled here is a fraction of what represents the legislation impacting seniors. That's okay. At least I think, Elaine, we would think the county would be behind something that was being supported by SCAC rather than some other organization out there that they're less familiar with, I think. So I would urge you to start there in terms of what kind of legislation you might support, because I don't think it takes the sales job it might take with some other organization out there that had legislation impacting seniors. So I think the county has a better feeling. It's been vetted to an extent that the county's not going to be surprised by something buried in the legislation. My observations.
Thank you, John. Great. Anything else on this item? Great. Okay. New membership. We don't have any new members today, I don't believe. Am I right, Carissa?
You're correct, yes.
Thank you. TAC report, Elizabeth Fusick.
TAC last met in September and will next meet in December.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions on the TAC report? Community reports, housing and transportation, Dave Tesla. You're muted, Dave. Dave, you're still muted.
Okay, now I'm not. We had our meeting just before the SCAC general meeting, and we didn't have a speaker, but we did have the great opportunity to discuss the long-term, short-term goals. We did approve the short-term goal results that will be submitted to the executive committee. And we had opportunity to work on the long-range goals, which covers probably two, maybe three areas. One, in the housing area, we were looking at provisions within improvement of Section 8 housing and mobile home living. In transportation, the areas of concern and goals will be with the increase in handicapped parking due to the increase in Orange County's aging population. There are regulations that specify how many handicapped parkings there will be per number of parking spaces, but we feel that with the increase in the senior population in Orange County, we may suggest the improvements in that, where you expand handicapped parking, expand the wheelchair van parking, and also improvements in electrical parking spots. And then the other area is in the handicapped parking placards and the abuse in the system there. If you take a look at the numbers, which I don't have right offhand, it's astounding the number of violations that there are. And we're just tipping probably the tip of the iceberg in that area. So it's a question of law enforcement priorities, who can issue a citation and so forth in that area. So those are the two main areas and the long-range planning goals for housing and transportation. And we should have a report available for the executive committee at our January meeting.
Thank you, Dave. Any questions for Dave? Okay, moving right along. Item number 12, announcements and roundtable discussions. I think one announcement is there's a meeting coming up at 10:30. I think a lot of people want to go to. Am I right, Sherry? So,
yes, thank you.
Okay. And that's one reason I've been trying to move it along this morning, so you can all get to that 10:30 meeting if you want to. And I think everybody has the information. I think, Elaine, you sent it out to all of us, and everybody, it's probably a great one to attend.
Is there anyone who
did not receive it that needs me to resend it to you. I think I hopefully got everybody. I mean, I sent it to all of SCAC. So Evelyn, I don't know that if you received it, I'll send it to you in case you want to hop on.
Anybody else have anything they want to say? Any announcements?
I just want to know, is there a meeting in December, Elaine, or are we dark?
No, we're dark. There's no meetings. All of SCAC is dark in December, except for the executive board may or may not. And we'll decide that at our November executive board meeting. We need to see what prep we need to do for January. But standing committee meetings are dark.
Okay, and I'm going to be sending you an email with all of Sue's information CC so that you guys can be in communication without me.
Okay. Anything else? Happy holidays.
Larry?
Yes.
Larry, will you stay on for just a minute after everybody leaves? I want to talk to you for just a second.
You want to talk to me?
Yeah.
Okay.
After the meeting. Mm-hmm.
Are you going to call me?
Yeah, I can. Yeah.
Yeah, it's best that you call because Carissa is managing this meeting. So
okay. All right. I'll give you a call.
All right. Thank you.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Stay safe.
And Evelyn, be glad to talk to you about your new duties.
Evelyn, you're supposed to smile.
You're laughing, right? You're not crying. That's laughing.
I have already sent you an email saying we need to talk.
Okay.
That's two people that need to talk to you.
Tony, you had your hand up?
Happy Thanksgiving and Merry Christmas to all.
And stay safe. Stay very safe, okay?
Holidays.
Hey, thank you all for everything you do. This is great. Okay. See you the second Monday of January. Okay, and Tish? We're not going to, are you still going to be here?
Until I sell my condo, I will stay as a member.
Okay. You know, you can always still be a member, right? Long distance.
Where are you moving to? So.
I'll be moving to San Diego. So I need to, okay. I'm an appointee of Andrew Doe, supervisor. Okay. So no, I can't be a member.
Right. Yeah, you have to be a resident of Orange County. So.
Well, good luck.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Thanks for everything. Bye.
Bye.